This programme was produced at and first aired on MPR, Manawatu People's Radio, with support from New Zealand On Air. Ka pai, irirangi te motu, MPR. If you're enjoying this podcast in Manawatu, you could make your very own, just like this one. MPR exists to help people like you tell your story or share your passion on air and online. Check out mpr.nz for more information.
Welcome to Manawatu Conversations, recollections of the past and sometimes opinions about the future.
Today we have with us
Alison Milden.
And I'm Vicky Marie Buchanan. So welcome back, Alison. Last week we shared a lot about your early memories in Kairanga and growing up in Kairanga and your lovely toys and your love of your dolls as well. So forward from that and forward from primary school in Kairanga.
Well, probably something that went from primary school into teenage mm-hmm. years in secondary school was that I was a girl guide. Ah. There was a very strong girl guide group, and we were very, very, very fortunate to have Cecily Snoxall as our captain.
Right, right.
She was English.
Right.
And she was marvellous, and she was prepared to kind of break the girl guide hierarchical rules.
Right.
So we did extremely exciting things.
Ooh.
We'd go tracking mm-hmm. down to the river.
Right.
We'd do tracking, we did semaphore, we did camping on the farm and cooking and mm. fabulous mm. stuff. So that was terrific. And that carried on through to secondary school. Mm-hmm. But at secondary school, I guess that was quite a big thing coming mm. from a small country mm. school. Mm. I went to Freiburg High School because our parents thought it was better mm-hmm. to go to a co-ed school. Mm-hmm. They didn't want to send it to Queen Elizabeth Tech, but there was no bus going to Freiburg.
Right.
So my sister, she used to bus to Tech and then bike to Freiburg.
Right.
So that was pretty tough for her. Mm. And the instant she turned 15, she got her license. My father had bought a little car and she drove.
Right.
So that was probably the first in Palmerston North
yes.
pupil to drive to school.
To school.
So then my brother came on 2 years behind. Mm-hmm. He didn't want to drive the car, he wanted a motorbike. So then as soon as I turned could get my license. Mm. I got my license mm. and drove to mm. school. Going to secondary school was tough.
Right.
We, for example, had to do an IQ test.
Oh.
I'd never seen such a thing.
No.
The ones from town mm. had practice IQ tests
right.
at intermediate.
Right. Mm.
And the IQ tests would have put us into a class.
Oh, okay. Mm.
So I presumably didn't do the best
mm, mm.
and got into the third, what was called the professional class.
Right.
So that was languages, mm, etc., mm. as opposed to shorthand typing.
Right, right.
General. And so I was in the third class, but did well and moved up to the fourth form, up a class to the second professional mm. class. And English had been my best mm-hmm. subject.
Right.
Loved it. Mm. Fourth form. We did the 12th night.
Oh, yes, yes.
The whole year.
Oh, no.
I hated every second of English and came nearly bottom of the class.
Oh, no.
I had four different math teachers, so that was a subject that became yuck.
Yes.
I did French and spoke, never spoke one word of French. So in the fourth form, I perfected the art of not being asked a question. So for anybody out there, this is the secret. Blow your nose. So every time I could anticipate a question's coming up, I'd blow my nose. So that's fine. So I didn't enjoy, I did not enjoy secondary school.
What a shame.
But of course, in a funny way, like I've done perhaps for most of my life, I get through. So I got through. I was in the choir. Didn't have many friends.
I was going to ask you about that.
In the same area. And, I didn't enjoy it.
That's two things, really, living in the rural area, isn't it? That transport was a difficult thing if you're trying to get a connection into the heart of Palmerston, or driving a car, getting a car and driving in there. And many, many country people do, don't they? Country students do have cars. And also the friendships, because you're not in the area and the neighbourhood, it's really hard to build friendships or sustain a friendship.
The other isolating thing was that people who knew one another went to girls' high.
Right.
There was not one other student from pupil from Kainanga. My primary school who went
to Freiburg.
To Freiburg.
Right.
With me.
Right. Right.
And it was actually a terrifically hot summer. And of course, I had to wear a school uniform.
Mm.
And at primary school, all I'd ever worn in the summer, I had two summer dresses for school and one best dress.
Yes.
My mother made them.
Yes.
And so you'd wear a summer dress,
knickers,
and bare feet.
Mm.
And no, bare feet was not because we were poor.
No, no.
Bare feet was because that's what kids wanted to do.
And they still do at Kairanga.
And so I had to go for my first day at secondary school not knowing anybody. And it was hot. And I had to wear shoes and socks.
Yes, yes.
And I just longed to rip and be somewhere else.
Good on you, though, having the resilience to work through it, despite your feelings and despite some loneliness there too. You worked through it, and you lasted 4 years, 5 years?
Yep, so I went through to the sixth form. I'm not sure what that year is now.
Yeah,
12. It's your second to last year.
Yeah.
Part of me said, I absolutely don't deserve to have UE accredited. But actually, I was.
UE is university entrance, which was before NCEA.
Of course, I got by. But from my point of view, without making a decent effort.
Right, right.
But that's okay.
Did you get UE accredited?
Yes, oh,
you
did.
You did.
I remember those days you all got put in a room together.
Yes.
And it was publicly announced. So these days they can't even put the names up on the wall.
So then you're hitting life.
Yes. So then it's you either go back to school for another year, and it, in my time, the seventh form or upper sixth was... Scholarship kids still really worked hard academically. Others did. They weren't pushed so hard.
Right, right.
I don't know
right.
if they were. But I was not there because I could leave with UE. So I was given a choice.
Mm.
I could go back to school, or I could go with my mother and grandmother for a 5-month trip.
Ooh, I wonder what you chose.
Well, I went on the trip. I can't remember kind of, did I make that decision?
Right.
I'm not sure.
Right.
But anyway, I did the 5-month trip.
Whoa.
And honestly, of course, you look back and you think, wow, how lucky, how fortunate was that.
Yeah.
These days, young people are going with their parents for overseas trips.
Yes, but back then, that was a big thing.
It was a huge thing.
How did you travel?
We flew and we went Pan Am.
Oh, yes.
And the incredible thing was the air hostesses.
Mm.
I had never seen women so meticulous, so made up.
Right.
So uniform.
Yes.
So perfect.
Yeah.
And in those days, you felt when you took off like it was G-force.
Yes.
You actually felt you got pressed into the seat.
Yes.
And we flew to Hawaii.
Right.
So we were in Honolulu, and that was just so colourful.
Yes.
And amazing. And then we flew to San Francisco. Then we flew to Boston.
Right.
Because my grandmother was a Christian Scientist.
Ah.
And that was the centre of Christian Science. So she had wanted to go there.
Right. So you were travelling with your mother and grandmother. And father as well? Or
no,
just he was the ladies.
Yes. And then we went to New York.
Mm-hmm.
We did things like go up the Empire State Building.
Yes.
And that's the first place I had ever seen beggars.
Right.
People. It was horrifying.
Yeah.
Horrifying.
Yeah.
That there were people in the street begging for food.
Mm. And what was sort of going through your mind? These are big, going from Kairanga to this massive population in the United States and the pace and everything. What were there some memories of what hit you? First of all, the cabin crew, the hostesses, immaculate beggars. Anything else about?
I don't know. The strange thing is I don't have trouble transitioning to anything. So, and wherever I am living at any one time, if it's for weeks, if it's for months, that's my home.
You're accepting it and going with it.
And the main thing is to actually be accepted as if you are part of this place. That's
okay.
A hard one.
Yeah.
All of it was fabulous.
Yes.
And what an experience.
Yeah.
And then we spent several weeks driving around the UK and Ireland. And then we went to Denmark to my grandmother's. She was Danish.
Yeah, so family members or?
Yes, two family members who'd been to New Zealand.
Yeah, great.
So we had met them.
Great to be with your mother and your grandmother too, you know, sharing it and having a deeper relationship and something different.
Though I think, you see, something I shouldn't have done, in retrospect I shouldn't have done, would be my mother would be recounting a story. And I'd be saying, no, that's not right. This is what happened.
Oh, right.
So I'd be, like you said, gatekeeper. yes. So, and I think for my mother, it was a little difficult because my grandmother's health was just a bit late.
Right.
So what actually happened... She got left in Denmark, And my mother and I travelled around Austria,
right,
and a bit of Germany and
Switzerland. Right, right.
And then my grandmother was put on a train to Italy because we decided the flying was too much for her.
Right.
And we'd go by ship.
Right, right.
So we picked up a ship in Genoa in Italy.
Right.
And she was sent down by train.
Right. Whew.
We made it. We got on board ship. And that was an incredible experience.
Ah, that would be, yes.
Because we counted 29 different nationalities.
Mm.
Was the days of the £10 POM.
Oh, yes.
It
yes.
was the days of Australia filling itself with Italians, Greeks, Arabs, people from different countries, Lebanon, Egypt, Austria, Switzerland.
Mm.
So this ship, that's the interesting thing that I just made so many friends.
Yeah. Oh, how lovely to be doing that. What year was that?
That was 1966.
Mm. So that was really where New Zealand was growing as an international population.
The ship, well, it could have been.
Mm, the start
the
of
ship stopped in Australia.
Oh, okay. Okay.
So we then flew Australia.
Right.
To New Zealand.
Right.
But yes, that period of time that Australia was just a melting pot of nationalities pouring in. Most of the ship, English was not their first language.
Mm. Mm. Wonderful experience, though. But what ship did you come back on?
The Galileo Galilei.
Right. And just lots of friends because of the socialising on board the ship or time to get to know each other?
That's what has always been easier for me, to make friends with people from other places.
Mm. 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 Good though.
Yes, yeah, fantastic. Good. But then you end up this age and so many of your friends are overseas.
Yes, yes.
And how often can you keep travelling?
Yes, yes, I know. I think the good thing nowadays is that we do have technology so that we can connect through technology and Zoom and things, but it's not the same as face to face, as you and I both know. So how did you process and what happened when you came back?
Of course I came back and everything just seemed so dare I say it, just so unworldly.
Yes
I just didn't feel I had a connection with people my age.
Yes.
And I think that would be interpreted as snobbery.
How old were you then?
It was from school where I was incredibly shy at secondary school. Hardly said peep, boo. And academic at Massey, and I was working at Massey, and he had been in the same year as me. We had this conversation in the staff club, and he said, "Oh, you know, of course you were a terrible snob. You came from a farm, you're wealthy, and you were a snob." And I said,
"Wow."
No, the reason I never spoke was because I was terrified to speak.
What did he say at that?
And that your father's job, in my eyes, I would have put as a very elevated position to me. Yeah.
Was he surprised at that?
I think you probably laughed.
But isn't it interesting? Different perceptions, isn't it, that we have all the time.
And then, of course, you think back and say, oh gosh, if I just had the confidence to make those connections, how might that whole school experience have been different?
Different. Do you think
that lack of confidence
Kind
of does influence.
Yeah. Do you think the travel gave you a sense of confidence, greater sense of confidence, when you came back?
No.
Ah, okay.
No. Because the thing is, if you've gone somewhere and travelled, people are actually not interested.
No. No, but you got there. You went there. And
yes,
you
so I have my internal
confidence.
My internal life. And that actually goes right through from childhood.
Right.
My father built me a hut when I was about 9 or 10, I think. And I just spent my whole weekend in the hut playing imaginative things, writing, play acting, creating a ballet in their costume.
Yeah, lovely.
Yeah, that kind of thing. But that was all internal, private, not shared
with
other people.
Yeah. So what did you do when you came back then? What did you... what happened to Alison?
I was worried because I didn't know what I wanted to do. I knew I didn't want to do what my sister had done, which was go to teacher's college, become a teacher, and just, she was, even at school, her homework, she would work and work and work. So my whole life was, I'm not going to be like that or do that. So I wanted to be a nurse, but nobody encouraged me to be a nurse. So weren't offered many choices. Careers advice at school, dental nurse, teach. Hardly anyone went to university. You had to be really brainy.
It's true. It's very. I remember that growing up too.
And I could have. I would like to have been a nurse.
Was there a little bit of that too? Because you're a female, and girls will get married and have children and have
There was never any expectation in my family, or pressure to marry. Or to have boyfriends, or to be going steady. My mother would throw up her hands in horror at the thoughts of a glory box where you gathered linen and stuff for your future married life. And it was the same, never anything like, oh, and when are you going to have children? And when are you going to give us a grandchild?
Yeah, when are you going to settle down?
When are you going to settle? Never.
Oh,
never.
That's great.
Never.
So why do you think the limit was? That's the limit of teacher, dental nurse or nurse. Is that it? Was that the choice for...
Well...
For jobs?
When I found out, obviously, years later, that my sister-in-law had started a traineeship with what was that shop in Wellington?
Kikaldi's and Staines.
So she got to be a buyer. I never knew such a job existed. I would have loved that job, but had no idea such a thing happened. So I had this nurse thing, but no encouragement. Later, my mother said it was because she thought that I would take on board people's illnesses, that I would think I had them.
Oh, okay.
That I would be too empathetic, so it was not for me.
You can understand that from your childhood and sensitive.
But the funny thing is that I came back not knowing what I wanted to
do. No.
And my friend was a trainee nurse at Dannyburgh Hospital, and she said they're looking out for what were they called? Nurse aider.
Ah, yes.
Nurse aid. You could come do that while you're thinking. So I did.
Yeah, great.
I went to Dannevirke Hospital
right.
as a nurse aide. I loved it.
Oh, fantastic.
I loved it. I loved living in the nurse's home.
Mm.
It was the first time I'd ever had tapioca.
Yeah.
The first time. And I put on heaps of weight because I loved it.
Yes.
And anybody who'd been to boarding school loathed it.
Ah.
I loved wearing a uniform.
Yes, yes. Yeah.
I just, but anyway, I now had to make a decision.
Yes.
What was I really going to do?
This is part 2 of 5. Tune in next week for part 3.
Thank you for listening to Manawatu Conversations. This and other recent programs can also be found on the Manawatu People's Radio website, and a range of programs is also available on the Manawatu Heritage website of the Palmerston North City Archive. The address for that is manawatuheritage.pncc.govt.nz.
If you enjoy this NPR podcast, please consider subscribing. Our podcasts are available on all major podcasting platforms: Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, and Spotify, as well as the accessmedia.nz app. Support this show and others like it by giving a donation. For more information, go to www.npr.nz/donate.